The city of Fargo looks at a new $10 million facility for the homeless. Have we not had this conversation before? New information about how much that trip to the liquor store might cost you. It is not just your health that might be on the line. And Ford and GM report their best years for auto sales since the pandemic. Good afternoon, my friend. Steve Ahlstrom here with you for the Steve Ahlstrom Show on this Friday that, I don't know, feels like a Tuesday coming back after the holiday. And here we are. We work 2 days and we get a weekend, Addison. I could get into this.
It's been a very odd week. We've kind of just had two Monday and Tuesdays.
Yes, that's how exactly it feels to me. Very weird. But you know what? I'm fine with it. If you get a, like, it'd be nice. They talk about the movement to maybe go to a 4 day work week, right? I'm telling you, as a business owner and someone who like looks through it and says this is silly, that's one way of looking at it. And then I think about it in terms of like just having to go to work every day, and I think, you know, it'd be kind of nice to have every Wednesday off, right? You get a Saturday and a Sunday. You go back for 2 days, and then you get Wednesday.
Break in the middle of the week.
Oh, Addison, yes. Right in the middle of the week, you could go to, you know, you can go to Buffalo Wild Wings for the all-you-can-eat wings on Wednesday and get all jazzed up and ready to go back to work, and then you only have two more days, and then it's a weekend. I could get into that. I could get it. It'd be like being semi-retired, I think.
I understand the appeal now. So next week's going to be killer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that is the thing. Except, this is the psychological games one plays with oneself. Except Monday, I feel like it's going to be just kind of like kind of an exciting day, magic in the air, because we have the Bison game on Monday night.
That's true.
And so we have that to look forward to. And then we come back after that, and that almost is going to feel like a little oasis in the desert. And then we have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now, I don't know. You know, 4 days in a row. I don't know how we're going to man up and handle that. But there will be, there may or may not be a Vikings playoff game to look for. The key is in January, you have to have these little tricks out there, those little carrots to make you feel like it's okay. I can get through this. I've got a little break. I am getting soft in my old age. No doubt about that. If Roger Hallstrom were alive today, he would say, son, suck it up. Try being a farmer where you never get a day off. And then I would say, well, Dad, that's kind of your choice, but I love you anyway. And anyhow, so I digress. But anyway, good to have you with us here on the program today. It is the final program of the week here on January 3rd. And still the promise of the new year has not completely worn off for me. I love this time of year, starting out the new year. I've had some conversations with some colleagues in the office today about, you know, how are we going to do this stuff this year? How are we going to do it a little better this year? I love that. I don't know. I'll probably work till I'm 100 because I just love that kind of, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Make it better. Let's go. Did a little tax planning earlier today and kind of talked about some goals with our sales, a couple of our salespeople today. So I love that. The promise of a new year. Hopefully, friend, it's been a great start to 2025 for you as well. Got a lot of ground to cover on the show today, and many interesting topics going on. There was that big fight on Capitol Hill today about Mike Johnson, but it got he got through. So Mike's going to be the guy, and I think this is a good thing. So a little bit of a food fight today, but it didn't last very long. And then it was over, and there was not the drama. The Republicans looked like they might be able to govern. So we'll see what happens there. That is one of the big stories in the news cycle today. I gave you a couple others kind of right off the top. Homelessness is in the news again in Fargo. Oh, you guys, I don't know. We keep trying the same kinds of things, and then we shake our head when they don't work. And Michelle Turnberg brings up some new ideas. Dave Pepcorn says, that makes a lot of sense. Let's do that. The other three go, no, we got other ideas. And today we found out one of them is we're going to build a $10 million facility to take care of the homeless. Take 19. Feels like we just do the same things over and over. So we'll talk about that today. John Wilson will stop by. John, certified range instructor. And John and I were texting earlier today, and he said, you know, this all this talk about terrorism, it intersects with a lot of things we talk about at the gun range. So in the classes we have, and I'm like, huh, interesting. So John's going to stop by and talk about that. I love talking about gun issues. Most people get really nervous about it. Like for me, the more like controversial or taboo the subject is stuff I love to talk about. So give me the sex. Give me the politics. Give me guns. Give me LGBT issues. I mean, give it all. And I love talking about this stuff because these are things that we need to talk honestly. We haven't talked about sex very often on this show. I guess we haven't done that because I don't, you know, that's a tricky one to get into. Maybe we will. If there's a story, however, that comes across the news, I guess that's the thing. There hasn't been much in the news about sex. So we haven't talked about it a whole lot. But there's sure been plenty of stuff about the LGBT movement and the guns and everything else. So I love talking about these things. And I continue to say that you can talk about just about anything you want to talk about. And I know some people are like really scared to, oh, they make people mad. If you just speak with respect about people and to people, I think you can have an honest conversation with people that you might not think you could have it with. Now, it gets tricky with race issues. I will say that. Because I've said things on this program like, you know, racism and bigotry and hatred is wrong. And I'll get hate mail like, you didn't say racism was. I said, well, I did. I just, that word is not the right word to use because it's too ambiguous, or climate or whatever. Then people get really mad if they just want to pick a fight. But there's a lot, most people are good, well-meaning people who don't mind having honest conversations about difficult things. So we do that here on the program when those subjects come up, and we'll do that today. We're going to talk about the homeless thing a little bit. Giving up alcohol for January as well. We found out today that you might be spending more on the sauce than you think you are. So we'll talk a little bit about that. North Dakota's Legacy Fund. I just saw the new numbers for Legacy Fund. Now, they've been out for a little bit, but I just saw them today. And so I'm thinking maybe I'm not the only one who didn't know. Do you know what this Legacy Fund is up to right now? Well, I'm not going to tell you right now, or you won't stay to listen to us talk about it later, but we'll do that in the 4 o'clock hour. Some insights on addiction. I read a very interesting social media post, and I said, well, here's another one of those stories. Like, people don't like to talk about addiction. I'm like, why? It seems like if there's anything we need to talk about in our country right now, addiction might be that thing. Mental health, addiction. Some insights on that I saw that I thought were very interesting. I want to get your thoughts on that. I have to talk about this Vikings-Lions game. And I'll just say this, I'll try not to spoil the whole thing, but the Vikings have a shot to win this game. They really do. And I'm not the only one who thinks that. Will they? Or I don't know. I have in my mind what I think the final score of this game is going to be. I'll share that with you coming up later. But I could be wrong. So we'll talk about that. And then before we finish up, I want to talk about the minimum wage idea that sounded really good in Seattle until businesses started shutting their doors. So we'll do all that today here on the program, plus a lot of news stories, very interesting. So let's get to it. I want to start by telling you that the Steve Hallstrom Studio is built on a solid foundation thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters and Ram Jack North. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect it. Go to PCCND.com to learn more. Our phone line is sponsored by Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness, 701-271-1100. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co. Let's do it here. It is time for the 4 o'clock wrap, semi-automatic storylines, as we go rapid fire to catch you up on what has been a very eventful day here on this Friday, January 3rd, 2025. We start with the almanac for today. It is, as I mentioned, 3rd of January. Average high for today is 19. Average low is 2. We'll drop down one or two more degrees on the averages before we start turning it the other direction. Record high 39 degrees back in 2019. The record low minus 35 in 1919. Sunrise this morning was at 8:12. Sunset will be at 4:51. We will gain today 1 minute and 5 seconds of daylight. So we are definitely going the right direction there. In the markets today, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ snapped a five-day losing streak, but still a lower close for the week. The Dow was up 339 points, S&P 500 up 73, the NASDAQ up 340, almost 2%. WTI crude oil today up another dollar, $74.07. Some talk about lower supply coming out of the Arab countries there. And I read another article earlier today, people saying that in a Trump economy, there will be more productivity, there will be more demand. So traders are starting to sense that there might be more building, more development in the new administration. And so oil prices, speculative as they are, continue to go up as people are saying that there could be more activity going on. And then we need to obviously like open up the flow, right? And that'll bring prices back down. So we'll see when that starts to happen. Gold today down $16 an ounce. Silver down 18 cents. Bitcoin today basically unchanged at 97,800. And AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is $3.06 today, and that's unchanged from yesterday. North Dakota's $2.79 for the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas. Minnesota $2.87, South Dakota $2.84. Diesel at $3.51 today. That's down a penny from yesterday. In the news today, our buddy Scott Hennen making news as he had Denise Kolpak, Fargo City Commissioner and Deputy Mayor, on his program earlier today, and she talked about that there are plans now because the Coalition to End Homelessness in Fargo and the United Way of Cass Clay are putting together a 30, 60, and 90-day plan for housing, and that's okay, whatever, but where I got interested is I saw in a transcript of the interview that there are also plans for a $10 million deflection center involving 30 organizations. Kolpak says, hopefully, boy, don't we love that. Hopefully, the money will come from the state, grants, and private investors. Private investors is one thing. Grants is another because that comes from taxes. And the state is taxes as well. And we just finished with this Measure 4 discussion. And we've heard lawmakers say, we don't spend money on it. We are smart about how we spend money. And for the most part, I don't think that they have been horribly irresponsible. But we don't want the state starting to pay money for a downtown homeless shelter, another whatever, deflection center. I don't care what you call it. Sounds like a lot of temporary money from one-time things. And then we get stuck with the bill for 100 years after that. So, Kolpak did say that there are seven homeless camps in the city now, which is down from 40 earlier in 2024. I don't know if that's just because of the weather. I wouldn't want to be a homeless person in Fargo, or if that's just the organic deterioration as the city has done some different things. But get ready for that debate. Should we build a $10 million deflection center in Fargo? The Forum reports today that Clay County, plans to ease into its newly passed law restricting flavored tobacco. They are going to ban the sale of flavored vaping products. But while they could have implemented the law right away, they said they're going to slow play it, and they're going to go with April 1 now as a date to put that into effect so businesses will have time to sell down their inventory and learn about the changes. That only seems fair to me. Valley News Live reports today that a man accused of assaulting police officers and urinating in the Fargo library has pleaded guilty. I just throw this in every once in a while because our wonderful downtown, right? I know I get in trouble when I say that, but Kevin Wright pleaded guilty to two counts of simple assault against a police officer. He attacked four cops who tried to intervene after he was urinating in the elevator in the downtown library, so he'll have to serve 4 months in jail. CNBC reports today that both General Motors and Ford reported their best annual U.S. new vehicle sales since 2019, before the pandemic. GM reported sales of more than 2.7 million vehicles for the year, up 4.3%. Ford reported sales of 2.0 million, or I guess 2 million vehicles, they were just under 2 million in 2023. So I did a little digging into this story to find out how many were electric vehicles and the hybrids and all of that. Well, it looks like it's about 4% of their sales. So, you know, I don't know. That's something, I guess. So they're saying that there was a rise in that, but 4% with all the hoopla and clamor we've heard about that, I guess I'm not surprised it's not higher than that, but I think a lot of people want it to be much higher than that. Joe Biden did a smart thing today. You've not often heard me say such things, but it is true. Joe Biden today officially blocked the $14.9 billion takeover of U.S. Steel by Japan's Nippon Steel. Biden said the proposed deal would place one of the biggest steel producers in the U.S. under foreign control, creating a risk for the nation's critical supply chains. I'm conflicted on this story because generally I don't like for the government to get involved saying what businesses can do as far as buying and selling. But there are certain businesses that I think we've got to be able to keep under domestic control. So that's an interesting discussion to have right there. Okay, rapid fire here. I'm getting deep into the segment. Mike Johnson was reelected. There were two holdouts right away, a couple hardliners. But they were eventually able to be wooed over to Mike Johnson's side after President Trump endorsed him. And so Mike Johnson won Speaker of the House reelected there. So that's good. Juan Merchan, the judge in the Trump hush money case, has indicated that he will bring sentencing, which we thought they were all going to drop all that. But he's going to bring sentencing back onto the table, but indicates Trump wouldn't be jailed. So it sounds like there won't be jail time, a fine, probation, or anything like that, but Merchan wants there to be sentencing in this thing. We thought that was kind of dead, but I guess it's not. And the Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, proposed today that alcohol should have a label on it saying that it is a leading cause of cancer. So he believes that Americans should know when you see that label that it should tell you that alcohol can cause cancer. I've not really heard much about alcohol being a carcinogen, but I guess about 20,000 people die every year from alcohol-related cancer, and I did not know that. Maybe you did. And that is a look at some of the stories making headlines here today on the 4 o'clock wrap here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. When we come back, giving up alcohol for January might make you healthier and richer. We'll talk about this coming up next. Okay, so you've heard about dry January, right? Basically, the implication is we're all a bunch of soaks during the holidays, and we're all about 20 pounds overweight, and we're almost in need of rehab. I guess that's kind of true for a lot of us. But anyway, dry January might also help save you money. You think a lot about the physical and mental health benefits of living a cleaner life in the new year, right? So first few days of 2025, a lot of people are like, I gotta dry out a little bit. I enjoy myself a little too much over the holidays. And you think about, okay, let's get healthier, but you might actually be able to save more money than you thought. So Yahoo Finance had a story out today talking about this whole concept of the costs associated with drinking extending beyond the price of the booze. And I thought this was interesting. Americans spend an average of $583 on alcohol every year, according to federal government figures, which, again, they'll revise them downward next month, and we'll lose all of the numbers, or we'll double them, whatever looks better for the Democrats at the time. So that's about $50 a month, right? But it could be more depending on your alcohol consumption drink of choice. I would have thought the number would be higher than that. And I know that there's a lot of people that don't drink, and I get all of that. So, but I guess I still just I am not a heavy drinker at all, but I'm well above that number. I mean, you go out for a couple of beers with your dinner and you're sitting at $20, just a one-time thing. You buy a nice bottle of wine, or you get some, old granddad or whatever, and that piles up pretty fast. So I guess I thought it might have been a little higher, because I know people that drink a lot more than me, and I don't want to know what some people spend on some of those things. But the article also goes on to say, plus all the other potential expenses involved in a night of drinking, tipping the bartender. Yep, right. And what happens? You have a couple beverages, and you're with friends, and you're having a good time, and you always tend to feel more generous, right? So the number goes maybe a little higher than you might normally do that. If you have to get a taxi or a rideshare home, and then you're going to want pizza, right, or something to eat. You're like, oh, I got to soak this up with something, get a pizza. So January, the article goes on to say, can be a great opportunity to be more mindful of your spending in general. So maybe cut back on the sauce a little bit. You might get some benefits on the health side as well as the wallet side. So thought that was something interesting to talk about here today as we are just a few days into the new year. All right, when we come back, John Wilson's with a certified range instructor here in Fargo, and he's going to talk a little bit about some of the stories that have been in the news lately and what that means for you in terms of situational awareness. Yes, you never know what might be going on if you head out with some friends, you're in a high traffic area. Just got to be aware of certain things. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Some good things for us to think about as we head into a new year. Coming up next on the Steve Ahlstrom Show. Well, not a day goes by that we don't see something happening in our news cycle where you say, oh my gosh, look at what happened there. Could anything have been done? Could that have been avoided? Could something have been taken care of ahead of time to prevent that from happening? And really, when you start having those conversations, one of the things that needs to be part of that discussion is you and I being aware of our surroundings and what situations are we getting into. And we should be able just to go where we want to go, do what we want to do, and not worry about it. But these are not the times that we live in. You've got to be aware of what's going on around you. John Wilson's a good friend of the program here. And John's a certified range instructor. But more than that, he's a guy that thinks about self-defense and thinks about protection, taking care of yourself and those around you. So John and I were texting earlier today, and he said, if you want to have a conversation a little bit here about terrorism and some of the offerings at the gun range that we have for classes and just some general things to be aware of, he said, I'd be glad to come on the show. I said, that sounds like a great conversation for today. So, John, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Yeah, I guess I'll just kind of turn it over to you and let you go where you want to. You brought some show and tell projects in today. But I think the things you have there, I think I know where you're going with some of these things. So give us just some of your thoughts on some things that we should keep in mind as we go into a new year.
Well, you know me, I always bring something. One of these days I'm going to bring a spider, you know, if I'm a Jay show for show and tell, because we know how he loves those.
Well, there's another show in the building this time of day? I didn't know that. Okay, anyway, so.
Well, I'll tell you, I can't echo the words the last few days of listening to our sheriff and a good friend of mine and a terrific guy,
yeah,
Jesse Johnner.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he talks about and is heavily talked about is situational awareness, just being aware of your surroundings and what is going on. Get your head out of your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had people, I'm a commercial driver, and I've had them walk right out in the street in front of me texting on the cell phone. And that, I could tell you that from, you know, the early days of cell phones.
Yes.
You know, that's how long I've dealt with it.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to a guy that split his nose open walking into a big glass door over at the new Sanford, or not the Sanford, the Fargo Parks Athletic Complex, because I was trying to start my car and I thought I was walking through an open door. So I know the feeling, yes.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing how even a small distraction like that, because, I mean, that's not a big distraction, is it? It wasn't, yeah, like you were having a, you know, a text conversation, speaking of sex, with Dr. Ruth Westheimer,
yeah, there
for
you
example.
Go. Yes.
I,
yeah,
miss that lady. Mm. We need her on your show.
That would be a good one.
Maybe, yeah, we should have reruns of her.
Oh, gosh.
Kind of like
what
the Paul Harvey rest of the story.
There's probably a new Dr. Ruth out now, but I guess we don't get the press releases.
So, but anyways, yeah, like Sheriff Johnner talks about, you know, a lot of things that happen to people, and this includes motor vehicle accidents, slip, trips, and falls, you know, you name it. A lot of the time, a lot of the things that can get you injured or killed is just not
paying attention
to what's going on around you.
So what are some of the places, John, where you think when you're in this situation, something should ping in the back of your mind, hey, survey where I'm at and what might be going around. What are some of those situations?
Well, like whether you're male or female, but probably more so, especially for the ladies. You know, a lot of ladies still work as barmaids. You know, bartenders, waitresses, and a lot of these restaurants close late at night, especially say in the downtown area. But this can apply anywhere in town. Mm-hmm. I don't care. You know, if you're in Osgood, you come out, it's dark. You might be the only one who came out of the building at that time. Or maybe it's just you and one other coworker. Yep. You're the last two out of the building. Well, your spidey sense should be on full alert, and you should always be scanning things. But you should be scanning things, even looking out the window, before you leave that building. Look out in the parking lot. Is your car the only one there, or are you and your coworkers? Or is there another car there that you didn't notice earlier on in the evening?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just little things like that that can keep you out of trouble because you're going to stay in the building. Now, you ask anybody in law enforcement, and they're going to tell you, make a phone call. If you're, you know, if something makes you highly nervous, make a phone call. They may not be able to get to you right now as long as you're safe and secure in that building, but they will make the effort to get to you
mm-hmm.
and help you out. You know, and this applies across the board to anybody. I mean, you know, every officer of the law I've known over the years has said the same thing. Pick up the phone and call us. You really, it's very hard to annoy the police
mm-hmm.
unless you're that person who calls, you know, like
all
every
the time,
15
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. But that's what it boils down to. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what they're there for.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the range, I always say we have a lot of self-defense classes, and coming this year, I'm going to work on some of this less than lethal, which is what I brought, because there's people who, you know, they can't carry a gun or won't carry a gun for various reasons, and I respect that. As a matter of fact, I tell people, think long and hard before you carry a firearm, because once that bullet leaves the barrel, your life is going to change, and it may not change in a good way
mm-hmm.
if you didn't do everything just right. And even if you did, you could still face a lot of legal fight.
I'm glad we live where we do, though. State of North Dakota, it gives the benefit of the doubt to someone who's trying to protect themselves. Not every state's the same way.
Yeah, we do have, thanks to our legislature, you know, and people like Ben Koppelman, who's a huge 2A guy, you know, we have those provisions that a lot of other people don't.
But your point is right, though, that it doesn't matter if justified or not, you take somebody's life with a gun, and that stays with you.
Well, and it's not just that. You know, what if you live in an apartment? Your neighbor is one wall away from you. Well, I can tell you that most pistol rounds are going to go right on through if you miss.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if you hit the person that you're an intended target, they could still go. That could be another legal issue for you.
Yeah.
And that's why I tell people, you really need to take classes. Just because you took the test does not make you, you know, law enforcement grade.
Yeah.
Even cops can be wrong.
Yeah.
We've seen that.
Yes.
Even cops with the best intentions.
Yeah, it certainly happens. Yeah. So what are some of the things that we can do? Like you say, maybe we don't want to, or we don't haven't done the firearms training. What are some of the less than lethal things that we can do? Because there's a lot of places where you can't carry a gun even if you wanted to
exactly.
in our society these days, and we know like I sorry to say it, but I'm going to say it. There will be more school shootings. There will be more shootings at sporting events. There will be more trucks that will plow into New Year's Eve revelers. These things are not done. There are tens of millions of mentally ill people out there, and there's a way to kill people and to hurt people if you want to, and it's not just a gun. So what are some of the things that we can have with us, some of those things that we can do that are maybe less, like you say, less than lethal?
Well, and we've seen it downtown even, you know, with people attacking other people. You know, I mean, take it all the way down to the street level. It doesn't have to be a major event that's going to change your life. It could be a very simple event.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the biggest class that I stress before anything, go to the Red River Range. Red River Range, or look it up as the old Red River Regional Marksmanship Center. And sign up for the situational awareness class. That's baby step 101. Start there. Everything else revolves around this class in the end run. You know, I'm holding in my hands right here, you know, they call these cat ears.
And cat ears. Yep. Okay. It looks like two cat ears. Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at it, it looks like two eyeballs.
Looks like a Hello Kitty. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it is a hell of a kitty. Because these are absolutely sharper than a pin.
So what you can't see here is, John, he's got two fingers through the finger holes, and there's two triangle prongs with sharp ends on them, kind of like brass knuckles, except got a little more to them.
Similar concept. And these apply probably a little more so to women than men, because I'll tell you, when it comes to self-defense, women always hold the edge in the court of law. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you that hands down. As long as you don't do anything incredibly, you know, incredibly stupid, you're in better shape than I am using these. But you can use these, and I don't care what part of the anatomy you have to apply these to, ladies. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
This can very easily get the attacker off you and in a world of pain.
Yeah, and that's something you can't easily pull out of someone's hands. So because you got it clenched in your fist, the bottom support. So it's not like someone can try to grab it. And you know, a lot of times, law enforcement will tell you that predators are looking for easy victims. And if you are in reasonable shape, we haven't talked about this, but it's a good idea to get to the gym once in a while, keep yourself in good shape, be able just to fight them off a little bit.
And not the gym that Wysocki goes to.
No, not that one. I don't know the story there, but it sounds like there's a story.
He's always talking about going to the gym. Well, those of us who listen to him enough know which gym
okay.
it's not.
Okay. Okay.
So the other thing that I'm holding in my hands right now is a can of mace pepper gel.
Mm.
Now, this is not the pepper spray. This is actually a gel product. This will stick to you. It has a UV dye that makes it easy for law enforcement to identify the perp.
Mm.
Because this causes a lot of pain.
Oh.
And if they have to seek medical attention, because if you do this right, you apply it to the upper body, to the face, to the eyes, they will more than likely have to seek medical attention from an eye shot from this. This is the same stuff law enforcement carries.
So that is a gel, and you try to spray it, but if you get it on skin, what, it burns hard? And okay, so you don't want any.
Oh, yes. Okay. Like I said, this is law enforcement grade.
Okay.
And, you know, it's not perfect. You know, everything has a pro and a con to it.
Sure.
But I like this. The problem with this, like you talk about, if you don't have a good grip on this when you're using it,
mm-hmm.
they can get this out of your hand and use it on you. So you have to practice with it and know how to use it. This, unlike the cheaper sprays, if you spray it on a windy North Dakota day,
mm-hmm.
this is not coming back in your face is a big vapor cloud like the cheap stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so there is a difference.
Makes sense. It's called pepper gel?
Pepper gel.
Pepper gel.
And I like the Mace brand or the Saber brand.
Okay.
Don't buy the El Cheapo, cheapest one I can find on Amazon.
Okay.
There's a reason.
Got it.
But even something as simple as a walking stick. Now, this isn't the perfect example. I showed you this one, the top unscrews. It actually has a small sword blade. And this is a throwback. These things have been around 500-plus years now.
Yeah.
You know, the English used to carry them, gentleman's walking stick with a built-in shiv, basically.
Yeah.
But it's got a solid head.
Mm-hmm.
You can use this to push someone away from you. You can use this as a striking device.
But you're not going to carry that around if you're going downtown to the bars with your friends.
Well,
are
if
you?
You're an older person.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, older people use various walking devices.
I guess
don't
that's
they?
True.
Or, you know, people with various injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But I would select one. Idyllically, I would find myself a good hickory one that actually has a leather strap. And again, this is so they can't get it away from you
because you wrap it around your wrist.
Wrap it around your wrist. You got a good solid hold on it.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Some good things to think about there for
and
sure.
And it even goes down to even the proper way to hold a set of car keys for your own protection. But again, situational awareness. You come out, you get off the bus at the wrong bus stop. You need to have a plan in your head all the time. What do I do? And part of situational awareness is even knowing your escape route or your potential escape route. I get off the bus in the wrong part of town. It looks a little dark and seedy.
Yeah.
But there's a restaurant open.
Yeah.
Maybe I should go over there and call for a cab. rather than try and find the next bus.
Yeah. Well, good things to think about and talk about. And, you know, I think moms and dads, these are important conversations to have with your daughters, too. Not the stuff that's ideal conversation around the dinner table, but, hey, that's what parents are all about, right?
Still tough love.
You have the dad, whatever. You're embarrassing me. Well, that's part of the deal. So if you want to find out more about the Red River Regional Marksmanship Center, you can go online, very easy, rrmc.com, and find out more about the things they have going on there and all the classes they have, and get yourself all schooled up on these important things. Some good reminders as we begin a new year. John, thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for
having
me,
Steve. Any last
thoughts
you have you want to leave with us here?
Nope.
Like I said,
we covered
all the good stuff, yeah.
You know, I've covered all the basics. And basically, when you start taking some of these classes, that's when you're really going to get in-depth and you're really going to gain the knowledge. And I always tell people, you can never have too much knowledge on things like this that involve protecting your life or the life of, you know, the ones you love.
People that matter to you. 100% right. John, happy new year to you. Thanks for coming by.
You as well, Steve.
John Wilson. Yeah, you can find him over at Red River Regional Marksmanship Center over there. All right, 4:51 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. When we come back, North Dakota's Legacy Fund gets stronger by the minute. The updated numbers on where that fund stands when we come back. Well, that Legacy Fund is just, I'm just amazed by this thing. And what a stroke of genius it was from the legislature back, 20 years ago probably, to get this going. And I don't remember the exact formula, but a share of all the revenue or all the certain increment from the production of all the oil and gas goes into this fund that's paid by the companies who do the drilling and then the transporting. A little bit of that goes into this fund, and it's been going in there for, I think it's 15, 20 years, something like that. And I remember starting to report on this back when I was doing the Need to Know Morning Show with Alex and Kevin a few years back. And I think at that time the fund was at, I don't know, $6 billion, something like that. $6 billion. And I started doing the math, like, my gosh, you know, what does that turn out to be if you have $6 billion over, you know, at over, say, 20 years at even 5% interest, right? I mean, what that turns out to be over time should be big money. Well, the number now is at, going into the new year, $11,492,000,000. That's a lot of numbers and a lot of commas. So the rate of return, I did a little dig into that to see what they've gotten for a yearly return. And for the latest full year in the state government starts again in October. But so for, you know, October of 23 to October of 24, they got about a 10% return on that thing. That's crazy. But even if they got, say, 5% return and just put it in really, really safe, you know, money markets and things like that, you're talking about $575 million of interest every year. So that thing's a monster, and it keeps on growing. And there are now questions about how do we spend it, because it should be spent, at least the proceeds, wisely. Hour two of the program coming up next. Here we go, hour number two of the Steve Hallstrom Show. This is the final hour of the program for this week, and we're glad to have you here for it. Steve Hallstrom here, Addison Loger, our producer, doing all the real work so I can hang out with you and let you know what I've been learning and finding out as we've been moving our way through the news cycle here today. This hour of the program brought to you in part by Labor Masters. Get the quality, reliable help you need today at Labor Masters. They are Fargo Moorhead West Fargo's number one choice for daily and temp labor. No job is too big. No project is too small. They have staffing solutions. They have job opportunities, and they work with more than 200 businesses in the Fargo-Moorhead area, providing a wide range of daily and temporary employment positions. That is Labor Masters. Go to labormasters.net to find out more about what they can do for you. All right, here are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today, and I have one bonus for you today from the sports world that's, I don't know if it's consequential. I just think the story is pretty darn cool. So here we go. Story number one, this actually comes from the What's On Your Mind program with our Scott Hennin earlier today. He had on Fargo City Commissioner Denise Kolpak, and she said that the city, through the Coalition to End Homelessness and the United Way, are also coming up with a plan to put together a $10 million deflection center involving 30 organizations. And Kolpak says, hopefully, the money will come from the state, grants, and private investors. We have tried all kinds of different centers and shelters and programs and exchanges and all the different ways that you can to take care of our homeless population. And the homeless population continues to grow. And the mayor has said himself, what we're doing isn't working. Well, what they've been doing is putting together more programs and exchanges and shelters and initiatives. And so now we're going to do another one. I think that City Commissioner Kolpak is a wonderful human being. She is smart. She's experienced. She's caring. She's got a heart. She is a good, good person, person you'd want to be your friend. But when I see these ideas come out about here's what we're going to do, it's a $10 million project, I just have to wonder if she's right for that job, because we keep doing these same things. Well, we're going to have a program. We're going to add this or that. And at some point, we're going to have to say going to less services and less programs. Maybe that's what we try next, because we've tried spending our way out of this problem and it has not happened. When I hear somebody say, hopefully we'll pay for it with money from the state, grants, and private investors. Now, that sounds at face value. Like, oh, okay, well, got a plan to play for, plan to pay for it. But what are we really talking about here? Hopefully be paid. So there's the first thing. Not, we have a firm plan. We know how to underwrite this. That's not what we're hearing. The goal of, the hope of, hopefully we get in trouble with those kinds of things. It'll be paid for with money from the state. Okay, so let's talk about that. What is money from the state? This is exactly why the Measure 4 thing became such a big deal, because our lawmakers were telling us we don't have the money from the state to be able to do this. And guys like Jim Casper sat here and said, yes, we do. I'm in the legislature. I know we can do this. Well, not if you're doing things like this. I would rather see us get property tax abatement or abolishment or whatever you want to call it, than this. And the reason that we can't do these kinds of things is because, well, we can get the money from the state. That means money from you and me. So I don't want another program for the homeless in downtown Fargo at taxpayer expense. I don't. A grant. Okay, let's talk about grants. Grants are nice. Money that comes to you for free. And all you have to do is apply for it. And maybe you get it. And our federal government is worse than our local government in spending without really having a way to pay for it. So I get a press release every day about, you know, this Native American Commission getting $2 million or this airport getting $5 million or this water treatment facility getting $1 million. I mean, it's just, it's insane the amount of money that comes from the federal government for local projects. Now, the politicians, they sent out the press releases because it is good for them. Money's going to go somewhere, so why not fight for my people to get that money? So I don't blame Senator Hovind, Senator Kramer for sending out the press releases. But when it's a grant, that's not an ongoing source of recurring revenue. That's a one-time only thing. During COVID, there were a lot of grants. There were a lot of one-time checks written. And then what happened? Well, we ran out of the grant. We ran out of the stimulus. But we still have the ongoing expense. Now what do we do? Well, now we're in trouble because we banked on these grant monies going forward. And we just said, well, I don't know what we're going to do when the grant money is done. We'll figure it out. Well, now we're having to figure out a lot of things that don't have easy solutions. And private investors, or investors is the third one. Well, now, okay, depending on what you get, that can be great. If you get a $25 million gift from the Blandin Foundation or whatever it is, well, then that matters. Now you have a, whatever your building is, $10 million, and you can say, we're going to use $2 million a year from this private investment, this foundation, and that's going to take us for the next 20 years. Well, then that's one thing. That's a little different than, you know, well, we got $50,000. So if you get the kind of scale to the private investor donations, that might work, but I'd like to see the list of the private investors to see how much money we're really talking about. So this is story number one for me. I feel like with the spending increases that we have in the city and this conversation too, I don't know how I can come to you on this program and say, friends, I think we should vote for Commissioner Kolpak next time around. These things do not make any sense, and these are problems that are not going to be easily solved. And if we keep saying, well, let's just, you know, do another program or another downtown center without eliminating another building or selling another building of some kind, then to me, look, it's a non-starter. So I'm not making a comment about who you vote for, who you shouldn't next time around. I'm just saying that the people that I tend to put on my list of people I'll vote for are the people that say, we've got to go the other direction. We've spent too much money on this. We can't spend our money to, we can't spend a path to success. We've got to come up with a different way. And I know it's a cruel, heartless SOB. I get it. Those Republicans, they don't love anybody. They just want the homeless to die. I understand what you're going to get, but you can't save everybody either. You can't help everybody every time with every problem that they have. And if that makes me a cruel, heartless, you know what, then I guess so be it. But I like what they're doing in Palm Springs. You get a bus ticket. Oh, bus ticket, make it someone else. Yes, you are. But my job in Fargo is to run a clean city and to solve Fargo's problem, not solve the world's problem. But we're going to build another $10 million center. All right, CNBC reports that General Motors and Ford reported their best annual U.S. new vehicle sales since 2019. GM reported sales of more than 2.7 million vehicles, up 4.3% from a year ago. Ford had sales of right around 2.1 million vehicles, up from just under 2 million in 2023. You might be wondering how many of those were EVs. Well, about 4% of them were EVs. That was the GM share. And they believe that they now have a 12% market share of the EVs in the country. So when you think about all the, you know, hoo-ha that's been made about vehicles and auto sales and so forth, I guess I'm surprised that only one out of 20 vehicles that were sold last year were EVs. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe that number makes sense. But it feels like with all the programs and incentives, and we've had these things shoved down our throats about, oh, yeah, by EV, that I guess I would have thought maybe it was more than that, maybe one out of 10, but that not the case. NBC News reports that President Joe Biden has officially blocked the $14.9 billion takeover of U.S. Steel by Japan's Nippon Steel. Biden said the proposed deal would place one of the biggest steel producers in the country under foreign control, creating a risk for the nation's critical supply chains. I'm conflicted on this because I don't want the government telling business who you can and can't sell it to. But I do kind of think that when you are at that scale, that the rules might have to be a little different. We can't allow facilities that are U.S. Companies to sell to overseas ownership when we don't have anybody else to do that. That doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not saying it's fair. I'm not saying it's right. I would love it if we had, you know, five other U.S. steels, and then it wouldn't matter, but we don't. So I think Joe Biden probably did the smart thing, and I have not said that often in the last 4 years. Story number four. By the way, if I didn't say this earlier, the top five at five is brought to you by Nancy Kelly Realty. Go to nancykellyrealty.com and find out more about Colfax Meadows, where small town living is still a thing. U.S. House of Representatives Speaker Mike Johnson has been reelected to the chamber's top job. Happened earlier today by a razor-thin margin. Johnson initially fell short of the majority he needed in the roll call vote that lasted nearly 2 hours, but at the very last minute, two Republicans switched their votes to support him after lengthy negotiations. I guess the horse trading was done right there on the floor. And Johnson won re-election with 218 votes, the minimum number needed. Republicans controlled the chamber by a 219 to 215 majority. I would like to know exactly what kind of negotiations happened there. The story I'm reading from the forum today says, it's not immediately clear what led Representatives Ralph Norman and Keith Self to change their minds and vote for Johnson after first voting against him. So, but they heard what they wanted to. I wonder what that's all about. But that's story number four. As you remember, we've had some of these food fights within the Republican Party. It's been, frankly, embarrassing for the party. And Donald Trump said, I want Johnson. He's the guy. Now let's everybody get in line. So some were saying that this was kind of an early test. How much power does the president really have? And in this case, it looks like he's still got the credibility. So that is that story there. And finally, I bring you this note from ZeroHedge.com. There are new numbers that are in on the federal debt and how that compares to what it was when Joe Biden took office. But the chart they have in their post today says total U.S. debt is up 30% since Joe Biden's inauguration, or $8.5 trillion. We are now at 36.2. So I guess I didn't remember that, but the debt was under 30 before Joe Biden took office, at 28, something like that. Total U.S. debt is up 30% during the term of Joe Biden. How about that? That is a stunning number. These are big numbers. I don't know, you guys, how this gets fixed. I mean, I know how to fix it, but I don't know how it can happen considering the current climate in Washington, D.C. We'll see. There's a lot of people saying the right things right now. We can only hope. But debt's up 30%. Since the Biden inauguration. Okay, so I know that doesn't mean you can say, well, you know, of 100% of the debt, 30% of it's Biden. The numbers don't work quite that way. But I've got to think that if you did the math on this, well, and you can, right? 8.5 out of 36, like almost a fourth of the U.S. debt from the history of our country that's been piled up since we began as a country. It's happened in the last 4 years. That's insane. So I thought that number was worth putting in the top five at five today. And here's my honorable mention story. I'm going to talk a little sports here. The Moorhead Spud Boys hockey team has been ranked number one in the state in the Let's Play Hockey poll that came out a couple of days ago. Moorhead is red hot. The Spuds are 12-1, and they just beat the team that was number one in the state, St. Thomas Academy, on December 28th by score of 4-1. The Spuds are rolling. They are good. They are deep, and they're still fairly young. They got a lot of underclassmen that are playing for that team, and 12 straight wins since losing their season opener. So these guys are flying. Moorhead has never won the state big school championship. And judging from what's happening right now, there is a real chance. And if that happens, you'll be able to find a party in Moorhead that night if the Spuds win the state championship, because it's not happened before. John Ammerman is a wonderful coach, got a great young team. Go take in a Spuds game. It's really fun. Haven't actually been over myself for a while, but I got to get over there. And good job, Spuds. Let's keep it rolling. It would be so fun to see the Spuds get it done. And they've got the kind of team. They're playing the best teams in the state, and they're beating them. 4-1 is not sneaking by on a lucky bounce. And that, friends, is a look at what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today, and one good one for fun here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. When we come back on the program, some insights on addiction and why the new year might not be so merry for some. That's after this on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, I'm going to save my conversation on addiction here for an opportunity that get a little more time to do it. It's not a conversation you can have quickly. But there's been some really interesting stuff going around social media about addiction and why it is so difficult, and kind of some perspectives I think are helpful. So we'll kick that around here one of these days coming up fairly soon. I was reminded from the text line here a few minutes ago that the Minnesota Gopher football team plays tonight against Virginia Tech in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And from the text line, somebody said, Steve, I think the Gophers can win this game, but they are expected to win by 10 points, and that seems like a lot. Yeah, I don't know anything about Virginia Tech. I'm a huge Gopher football fan, but I just haven't read much on Virginia Tech. I do know this, though. At Minnesota, they love bowl games, and they take them very seriously. They don't have a lot of players typically that will opt out, you know, because they're going into the NFL draft or that kind of thing. They do have a couple of offensive linemen that are going to be transferring, and I don't believe they are playing tonight. So that's why I'm a little nervous about this one. I think the Gophers win, but if you've got a win by 10 to cover the Vegas number, I don't know about that. They've got a wonderful running back named Darius Taylor, and I would look at that if you're looking for something to kind of keep your eye on. Typically, an over-under on rushing yards for him is somewhere in the 90s, and if it's low 90s, I would be all over him breaking that tonight. So we'll see what happens. Minnesota's 7-5, and if you look back on Minnesota's season, they lost their opening game to North Carolina because the kicker missed two field goals that normally he makes, and they lost by, like, what, a point or two. So that should have been a win. The game at Michigan, if you remember that, they had a huge comeback at the end and recovered the onside kick, and they called a penalty, and they shouldn't have. And if they got that, they might have gone down to win that game too because they were just storming the castle at that point. So they could have easily been a 9-win team this year. So Minnesota is about the best 7-5 team out there. I understand why people like them. I just don't know. 10 points is an awful lot. So we got Gophers tonight, Vikings on Sunday night, and we'll talk about the Vikings here coming up in just a few minutes on the program. 701-271-1100 if you want to join the program. Anything on your mind that you want to talk about, you can do that. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. From the email box, you can send an email here as well to the show, studio@flagfamily.com. Emailer Phyllis said, Steve, talking about that homeless project proposal in the city of Fargo, just because it sounds good doesn't mean it'll work. The definition of crazy is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Yeah, 100% right. We keep doing more of the same things and thinking that the outcome is going to look markedly different. And I just think it's people that feel like it's their job to, like, play God somehow. And, you know, I have to save these people, and so I want to save them, but it's not, man, I don't want to say it's an immature perspective, because these are grown people that are intelligent human beings, but it's a childish way to look at it. Like, let's keep giving people free things, and that's going to solve the problem. Clearly it hasn't so far. Thank you for that. Also from the text line, Steve, thanks for your opinion. That's what I've been saying for 30 years. I don't know which story you're commenting on. So I don't know if that was about the downtown stuff, if that was about, I don't know, Joe Biden saying we can't sell U.S. steel to Japan. I don't know, but I guess I'm glad you're finding something that you agree with, on the program. This one just hit the inbox, and I think this is a pretty big deal. The North Dakota Department of Environmental Quality, based on careful consideration of public comments and a comprehensive application review, is issuing a state animal feeding operation permit to Riverview Farms for Abercrombie Dairy, a large concentrated animal feeding operation proposed in Richland County. So this is the one that has everybody up in arms in Richland County. But this happened, I guess, today, just a little bit ago, that the state of North Dakota reviewed all the public comments in the people who are not happy about this. And it says here that they reevaluated the permit application. And it's too long to read here, but they looked at some things that were the complaints and the worries. And either they say this is not our thing, that we cannot deny this permit based on this because it's not our jurisdiction, I guess the way to say it. Or they just say, look, we get it. You don't like it, but there's not enough here for us to say that we can't do it. So now I don't know how it gets held up now if the state, you know, kind of did that. They granted the permit already. They said they'd take a look at it. They did. They've come back with the same result. I guess now, you know, it's going to take some kind of a federal lawsuit or maybe a state lawsuit in the district or the state. I guess I don't know enough about how the legal process works, but I kind of feel like this is going to happen now, even though people are unhappy about it down in Richland County. So a little news coming out of the late afternoon hours here on this Friday, January 3rd. Okay, it's 5:33, time for a check of news and weather. And then when we come back, I'm going to tell you what the football world is saying about this Vikings-Lions game. And I will give you my prediction as well. I'll give you three big things to watch. That's coming, or three things I think that are going to be a factor in deciding this game. We'll talk about that as we continue here on the Steve Ahlstrom Show. If you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have told you I don't think the Vikings have a realistic chance to win this game in Detroit on Sunday night. Detroit, they are such an offensive machine. They're just going to be hard to beat anyway. I don't know if the Vikings are playing at the kind of level where they could go into Detroit against a veteran quarterback and a very good offensive play caller and find a way to win. But over the last couple of weeks, they have looked very good. The game against Green Bay ended up to be a close game on paper, but it really was a blowout. And you coach differently as a defensive coordinator when you have a big lead. You just do. And Green Bay came back late and made that game look respectable, but it wasn't. The Vikings team that played the first three quarters of that game against a Green Bay team that had come in red hot, had won a bunch of games in a row, they were just bullying people at the line of scrimmage. At the time, I thought, not a great matchup. I picked the Vikings to win by a couple points, but I'm like, this one makes me nervous because I don't like the matchup. They took Green Bay apart, and that was a whooping. There was no confusion about who the better team was there. The Vikings are good. The Vikings are really good. They are very well coached. The talent on this team, especially defensively, is they've got a handful of good players, a few decent guys, and then they've got a couple of guys you're like, oh, boy. But they find a way to get the most out of their talent on defense. And Kevin O'Connell is wonderful as an offensive play caller. They've got a decent offensive line, not great, but decent, and very, very good skill position, guys. Jordan Addison has been one of the reasons, their second receiver, that this team has just become different. They are very good. They are playing very well right now, and they can go into Detroit on Sunday night and win this game. There is no doubt about it. I look at it this way. The Vikings defense has a chance to stop Detroit more often than Detroit's defense has a chance to stop Minnesota. So I think on a neutral field, play the game 100 times, I think the Vikings win 60 out of 100. But they're not on a neutral field. They're in Detroit where the Lions are very good. I know they lost to the Bills there, so I get it. They can be beat, and their defense is banged up. They're getting a couple of guys back that could help them on the defensive side, and they're playing at home. Because of that, I have to give the Lions an edge in this game. If I take my Vikings-loving heart out of this and say, On paper, where do you go? The Lions are a 2.5-point favorite in this game, and that number makes sense to me. I'd say it's closer than that. I'd say it's maybe 1 or 2. But, yeah, I get where they're coming from on this one. But could the Vikings win this one? Absolutely. I wouldn't have said that 2 weeks ago. There's something with this team. And this feels very different to me than the Vikings team from a couple years ago that won that game in Buffalo, and they just pulled miracle after miracle after miracle out of their hats. But and then they got beaten by, you know, a so-so Giants team at that time at home in the first round of the playoffs. They're not getting beat by a so-so team in the first round of the playoffs this year. They're not at home, on the road, wherever. This is a really good team. I'll give you a couple of kind of summaries of this game from the beat writers for the Vikings and the Lions and how they're picking it. The Vikings beat writer Ben Gessling in the Star Tribune says, the Vikings have won 9 straight since losses to the Lions and Rams in October. They're healthier than Detroit, and they're coming to Ford Field well-stocked with both confidence and motivation before a game that's had a massive buildup heading into the regular season's final week. But the Lions have weathered their extensive slate of injuries through their play caller's ingenuity, Coach Dan Campbell's bravado, which, by the way, is stupidity. Let's use the right term. He's just a knucklehead who makes bad decisions over and over again because he wants to be the tough guy. You know, we're going to do it. We're going to show you. And then most of them backfire. And the quarterback, Jared Goff's stellar play. Their fans would like nothing more than to see them secure home field advantage for a possible run to the team's first Super Bowl. So nothing will come easy for the Vikings on Sunday night. Still in a game where there should be plenty of points, the Vikings' edge in terms of health could lead them to make 1 or 2 more plays that turn out to be the difference. My call is Vikings 35, Lions 31. The Detroit Lions beat writer in the Detroit Free Press is a gentleman named Jared Ramsey. And he has his kind of final breakdown looking like this. He says, cherish this moment. This is a true conference championship game or Super Bowl quality meeting in the regular season between two teams tied for the second highest win total in the NFL. You know what? He's right. He's right. Cherish. If you like football, if you're a Vikings, this is as good. Detroit fan, this is, if you just like good football, this should be really, really good. And he says the outcome couldn't possibly mean more, especially for two franchises trying to win their first ever Super Bowl. Minnesota's offense has a new gear since the first meeting, thanks to the play from Sam Darnold, which will be an immense challenge for a Lions back seven that struggled in recent weeks. But Detroit's offense just put up its 6th 40-point performance of the season, and they are averaging 456 yards a game over 4 games in December. Jared Goff's connection with his receivers plus Jahmyr Gibbs running behind the offensive line has found a deadly rhythm to help Detroit overcome any defensive wart, which will be the case again Sunday. It will be a high-scoring back-and-forth affair where whoever wins the turnover battle will win the game, and I think Detroit's safety combo of Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch will prove to be the difference with a big play late. I'm saying Lions 34, Vikings 31. So how about that? Vikings guy says Vikes 35-31. Lions guy says Lions 35-31. And you know what? That's what's so fun about this, is that it really seems to be team with the football last probably ends up winning it. It should be a lot of fun. If I have to point to one difference in this game, I will say the Vikings' 2 losses this year happened to 2 quarterbacks who are very similar, Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford. Jared Goff beat him. Matthew Stafford beat him. The Vikings do really well, and their defensive coordinator, Brian Flores, who's brilliant in calling football, his stuff works really well against quarterbacks that maybe don't have as many laps around the track, who don't know what you're doing before you do it. You know, when Tom Brady was playing football, and Pat Mahomes is kind of the same way now, it's like they're calling out your defensive plays at the line of scrimmage, basically. They just have been around. They've seen it all. Those guys don't typically get as phased as younger quarterbacks like Jordan Love last week, Caleb Williams for the Bears, and just young quarterbacks that just haven't been through it all. Those guys, the Vikings defense seems to have the best success against. guys like Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford, they know if you're blitzing from somewhere, they know where there's going to be an open receiver. They can change plays at the line of scrimmage. They know what they're doing, and they know how to get the job done. They've got a very good play caller in Detroit, and Jared Goff is a quarterback. He's a guy that many times this year has gone on a run where he's completed 15 straight passes. And I just have to think, if I look at this objectively, and again, take off my purple-loving, my purple hat, my purple glasses, if I look at it objectively, I say that's probably the difference in my mind. I think they'll find a way to get it done at home. If you're a gambler, I would love Jared Goff's props this week, his numbers over completions, maybe not attempts, but completions. Jahmyr Gibbs, total yards, rushing plus receiving. I don't know what he's at, but he is going to be a huge part. And he has hurt the Vikings before with some big plays and some big long touchdowns. He'll be definitely a factor. The Vikings can score with the Lions. Something about this game being at home for Detroit tells me Detroit finds a way to win, but I would not be surprised for the Vikings to get a win. And then how much fun does this start to look? Vikings with a week off, which means everything this time of the year, and they play so well at home that to have any of these teams come in, whether it's the Eagles or the Lions, yeah, they might not win the game, but I'm not scared. Halfway through the year, I just said, I don't want to see any part of Philadelphia or Detroit. At this point, I say, line up, let's go. It's a even split, and this week should be so fun. So fun, and there could be a ton of points scored in this game. I think it might be for some reason, I feel like this. Everybody's picking this to be like 35-31, so you're getting into the 60s for points. The over-under is 58.5. For some reason, I feel like the defenses are going to have something that's going to slow up the other offense just a little bit. So I don't know that we get into the 60s, but I like something like a 27-26 game, 30-28, something like that. I'm kind of in there. So if I'm going to go with a final score on this one, I'm going to go Detroit 30, Minnesota 28. And I'll go with that one because I think that's about where this game falls. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. And it would be so fun to see the Vikings. If they win this, people will be talking about them as the NFC favorite and a team that then is in that conversation with the Chiefs and the Ravens over on the other and the Bills as far as this team might be a team that can win it all. And certainly they can. You know what? Even if they lose this game coming up Sunday night, I don't feel like, oh gosh, well, now we've seen their fatal flaw, season's over. I don't think so. I think they can go into Detroit and win, especially if they play again, which they very well could. Sometimes it's kind of nice to have that revenge factor. Oh, you just beat us 2 weeks ago. Now we're back. Philly is always a tough, tough place to play, but the Eagles, I don't know. There's just some, but they don't look right to me. And are they good? Yes. Their ceiling is as good as there is, but they don't usually get there. This Detroit team seems to get to its ceiling more often than not. But the Vikes can score against them, no doubt about that. And Detroit's not going to score a touchdown every time they have the ball against the Vikings. The Vikings' defense is good enough to limit them here and there. So I cannot wait. It's going to be hard to sleep on Saturday night. And the fact we got to wait all day for this game, and there's not many games this week where there's going to be a lot of drama in these games because either teams are out of it or their playoff seeds are locked. It's not that way. The winner of this game gets the number one seed in the NFC. The loser is like a 5 seed and has to go on the road maybe for every playoff game. So cannot wait. All right, 550, Steve Hallstrom Show. When we come back, 271-1100, where have I got it right? Where have I got it wrong? If you want to give a little prediction, we'd love to hear from you. 701-271-1100. Be back with a couple closing notes right after this. All right, I got a text message today from someone that's a regular listener to the show, and he said, Steve, I heard your interview with Mayor Carlson from Moorhead yesterday. And he said, it made me start thinking about this DG Fuels company that's going to build the plant in Moorhead. So he said, I'm going to kind of summarize about 6 texts back and forth. And he said, basically, I just started looking at this DG Fuels company, and there's not really much information available about them. If you're going to build a $5 billion project, you think there'd be something on them out there, but on their webpage, they just say they've got proposed plants like in Moorhead and a couple locations around the U.S. Louisiana was one. Where is the money coming from? All I have found is that they raised $30 million to do plant studies. So where's the $5 billion coming from? That question hasn't been asked in very many articles there. The couple of forum articles I've read and your guest made it sound like it's a done deal. Ask Brent Sanford about all the proposed billion-dollar projects in Western North Dakota that haven't happened. This seems like that type of a deal, but Moorhead says otherwise. I don't know what to say about that. I think it's I've not heard of DG Fuels myself. They say they're coming and they're building it. I don't know if there's like any sort of subterfuge going on here where we say we're going to do this and they really aren't. I don't know what game there could be to be played by saying you're going to do something. Maybe you're trying to get a bunch of, you know, state and local money to jump in as well to underwrite the project. So I don't know, but interesting. We'll wait to see. I mean, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, I guess. And we'll kind of wait to see what happens on that one. But I thought that was an interesting perspective. I hadn't thought about that before here. From the text line, Steve, I missed where we're at with the legacy fund level. What was that again? Okay, yeah, so it's $11.4 billion right now. Did I keep that up? No, I deleted that off my show page when I talked about that. It's very easy to find, though. It's like $11.48 billion in that account now. And I did look to see that last full fiscal year, they got a 10% return on that money. So if you get a 10% return on $11 billion, you get $1 billion of interest proceeds to spend on. I mean, now you're starting to talk about, you know, a significant piece of your state's operating budget or big projects that you can do. You know, I've said before, let's build mental hospitals here. Let's do mental health right. Let's build jails here. Let's do the right things for our state. Or just, you know, let's rebate property taxes or say we're going to pay everybody's primary residence real estate taxes. Like we were thinking might happen under Measure 4, but crazy how this thing is getting, how big this thing is getting. All right, my friend. Well, that'll do it for the show today. Thanks for being with me. Go Gophers, go Vikings. We'll be back on Monday to talk about that, plus all the interesting events. Washington, D.C., Congress getting going for another session here. And we'll maybe find out more about those two terror attacks earlier this week as well. Have a great night, my friend. Keep on flying that flag.